Good evening, everyone. And I'll say it for the last time this year, Happy New Year. Our first meeting of 2026 for the City of South Jordan Planning Commission for Tuesday, January 13th, 2026. Thank you all for being here this evening. Just do a roll call. So we have four commissioners here in attendance. Our fifth commissioner, Commissioner Harding, is joining us via Zoom online, which we do allow per our commission bylaws for commissioners to participate for, electronically. And I haven't heard from Commissioner Bishop, so hopefully he'll be joining us here shortly. We also want to thank members from our city recording staff, planning department, attorney's office, and engineering, and IT and GIS departments. I think I got everybody, and of course, you, the citizens who missed out on the state of the city, that's also starting right now at a daybreak. So thank you for the more exciting city event this evening. It is us here on the Planning Commission. All right, so our we're just going to jump to agenda. If you guys, there are agendas there that were in the back right where you walked in, but we're just going to go through the agenda. So first is, I haven't been told of any changes. Do we need to make any changes to the agenda? If not, accept the motion to approve.
I move that we approve the agenda as published.
And I will second that. So we have a motion by Commissioner Hall, second by Commissioner Gedge. Any discussion to the motion? Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
Yes. Aye.
Aye.
And can we have audio enabled for Commissioner Harding? Just
aye.
Thank you. So that passes 5 in favor. The next item is item C, which is approve our minutes from our last meeting, December 9th of 2025, so a month ago. So hopefully you guys had a chance to review those. Thank you, staff, for putting those together. Any changes that need to be made to the minutes?
I did not see any, so I will move that we approve the minutes as published from our December 9th, 2025 Planning Commission meeting.
And I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Hollis and a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any further discussion to the motion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. And that also passes 5 in favor. Okay, so we actually have staff business. So, generally, we go staff. Anything that you want to bring up to us first this evening before we get into the three items that are listed?
I don't have anything, I don't believe. You're ready to go.
Okay. So we, because this is our first meeting of the year, we do have just a little bit of housekeeping we have to take. So just bear with us real quick. So each year, we need to elect a commission chair, a commission vice chair, and an ARC representative. So for 2025, I had the honor of serving as chair, Commissioner Wallace as vice chair, and I believe Commissioner Harding as our ARC representative. Is that correct, I believe? Mm-hmm. So at this point, we just need to go through the process. I know Commissioner Harding and Commissioner Farnsworth, I think this is your first time participating in this. So we can accept some nominations for those, and then we'll do a roll call or a vote.
Can we pause for a moment, since the ARC position requires availability on a specific day, and just discuss that briefly?
When does ARC committee generally meet?
It meets, if there's items, it'll meet on the Wednesday after a planning commission meeting.
At 8:30, right?
At 8:30 a.m., yes.
Correct.
So unfortunately, I have employment conflicts.
Ms. Harding, are you available to do that for a second year?
I am.
Okay. Is anyone else interested? Okay. All right, that's all I needed to know.
So let's just jump to D3. I would like to nominate Commissioner Harding.
I would like to second.
As the ARC representative. So we have a, and before we get in that, Ms. Harding, would you accept that nomination?
I would accept.
Okay, and is any
so I will second that.
Okay, so any further nominations for the ARC representative? Seeing none, all in favor for Ms. Harding as our ARC representative from the Planning Commission, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Yes. Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
That passes 5 in favor. So thank you, Ms. Harding, for willing to do that for us again. So that then takes us to Commission Chair and Commission Vice Chair. So we did, just so the general public knows, in June of this year, we adopted, finally, Planning Commission bylaws, which outline the duties of the Chair and the Vice Chair. Generally the chair conducts the meeting and then just helps coordinate any items with staff and or city council as needed. And then the vice chair fills in if there is a conflict or the chair cannot attend. Anyone willing or wanting to serve as chair for 2026?
I would just like to observe that our meetings probably run a little faster when you're the chair than when that was. So I'm just throwing that out there. If you're interested, I'll nominate again, but if somebody else is interested, I'm also open to letting other people have that experience.
Yeah, I mentioned that last year when I nominated that, you know, definitely open for others who want to serve.
So this is your time to speak, but know that I appreciate Commissioner Gedge's moving our meetings along.
I'd be willing to serve for one more year, read into that as you will. But if there's someone else who wants to serve, I would happily
please don't be
see
shy
that as well.
If it's something you want to give a try.
Not yet.
All right, then I will nominate Commissioner Gedge for our chair this year.
And I will accept.
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Commissioner Hollis, the second by Commissioner Harding. Anybody else want to be commission chair for 2026? If not, all in favor, please say aye.
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 And any opposed? So that passes 5-0. Five in favor, 0 opposed. Sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have accepted it because sometimes I stumble and get that out of my mouth. So we still need a vice chair. So Commissioner Hollis graciously served as vice chair in 2025 for the years before that. She was our chair. So thank you for the service. I'll definitely have the expertise. I'm great with the status quo.
But this might also be an opportunity for somebody to train. So again, I've had my fill. I did it for 5 years, I think, before.
Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Cavill? Mr. Fargor?
I would defer to you. I'm happy to give it a shot if you're.
Oh, I'd say go ahead and give it a shot.
All right, I will nominate Mr. Farnsworth to be our vice chair for 2026.
And I will second that. Mr. Farnsworth, will you accept?
Yes.
And I will second that. Anybody else who would like their name thrown in for vice chair? Okay.
Wait, where is my seat going to go?
So we'll work out seating arrangements. Most likely we'll.
You don't have to answer that.
Yeah. So all in favor for Commissioner Farnsworth as vice chair, please say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Any opposed? So that passes 5 in favor. So most likely Ms. Farnsworth to my left, and then we'll just like Commissioner Hollis next to me. That way Mr. Camel can help Mr. Farnsworth, and you can help me. Sorry, Mr. Bishop and Ms. Harding, but it'll still be on the ends. All right, so any comments from planning commissioners? Again, I kind of mentioned passing tonight is city council is the state of the city for the mayor. They're having that address, so we wish them well. And they had their first meeting of the year last week where we had the oath of office ceremony for our reelected council members and the mayor. So I believe, I'm not sure of the logistics, do our three commissioners who align with those three offices need to be sworn in or reappointed?
No, they don't.
Okay.
So I checked on that too, because that's how, when we did the agenda, but recorder's office said no.
Okay. So
I would just add, I went to that swearing in last week and it was a really nice event. Governor Cox came and swore Mayor Ramsey in. It was nice to hear all three of them give speeches. A lot of local representatives and state representatives were here and very complimentary of South Jordan, so it was a very good event.
Yeah, I saw the images online. Unfortunately, I had a conflict, but I know a lot of, yeah, like you said, fellow municipalities that neighbor us attended, as I'm colleagues with several of them for my years of service, so it was nice of them to help support our city. Anything else from Planning Commission members? Anybody absent at our meeting in 2 weeks from today? Generally asked. And I'll follow with Mr. Bishop just to make sure. Okay, we have no items this evening under our summary action or our action items, so we'll jump into the administrative public hearings. We have four this evening, and just so the general public knows about our process with administrative public hearings, staff will present to us the item, a staff report, which was published and available online when this was agendized. And so then the staff will present that to the commission. The commission will then ask staff any questions that we have based off the staff report. Following that discussion, we will invite the applicant to come forward to add any testimony that they would like to give on that item. When you do come forward, please approach the microphone, give us your name and address for the public record, and then address the commission. If you are the applicant, you have as much time to address any items that you may have. Following your testimony, the commission may ask you some questions they have regarding your application. Following that, we will then open the meeting to the general public. Any member of the general public who is here to give testimony on an item, come towards the microphone, give us your name and address, and you have up to 3 minutes. If you're a member of the general public, we ask that you address the commission directly, speaking to the microphone, and then it's not a give take. We won't be directly answering questions. We will be writing down your comments, and then when all of public comment is over, we will then work with city staff and maybe invite the applicant forward to address any comments that were raised during public comment. Following that, we will then have a discussion leading to a motion. Did I miss anything regarding our process? I will briefly highlight each of those, all four items this evening. We have a great, I love it when we have a busy agenda. So we have four items this evening. Our first item is item H1, the Velitas Event Center Conditional Use Permit for property located at 10509 South River Heights Drive. The applicant is Isabel Cristina Moreno Dominguez, and Mr. Aguilera will be presenting us this item. So Miguel, if you come on forward, and the time is yours. And I apologize in advance if I mispronounce any names this evening. No, please don't take offense, and we'll try to get it right.
Thank you, commissioners. So this is the Bellitas Event Center Conditional Use Permit located at 10509 South River Heights Drive. And the location is right here. So this building is newer. It is in an office zone, and it's a condo. It's split into condominium suites. So this event center is going to go in suite 101 on the first floor. So the applicant is requesting that the Planning Commission approve a conditional use permit for this event center. City code in this zone requires that this has a CUP, and the following impact control measures have to be taken into evaluation. They include traffic, circulation, access and operations, additional notice, and a residential protection area. So for traffic, we didn't anticipate any increased traffic with this specifically on site. As far as parking, there are 123 spaces available. And the use here would probably occupy around 29 of those spaces. So we don't anticipate any impact on parking. Circulation and access, no negative impact anticipated there either, since well, there is one entry and exit, but the parking lot is pretty big and people can drive around it to exit if they need to go, you know, one way if one way is busy. Operations, so the applicant did provide a letter explaining their operations plan. They'll take up reservations only, no open events to the public. They estimate to have between 60 and 100 guests in attendance. They anticipate the majority of their events to be on evenings and weekends, so this is outside of normal office hours, mostly. They did not provide specific methods of doing monitoring sound levels, but the applicant did say that they will do their best not to disrupt nearby property owners, to monitor sound levels, to make sure that they're not causing any sort of disruption to any of the nearby business owners or residents. And as far as additional notice, a notice was sent out for every property owner within 600 feet. And the nearest residential area is to the east, and it is roughly 147 feet away. So that's outside the 50-foot residential protection buffer. So with that stated, staff does recommends approval of the application based on these findings.
Questions for staff at this point, Mr. Campbell?
Go. I didn't look at the map, but is the building to the south of that, is that the assisted living facility?
I believe so, yeah. It's so hard to see in this map, but I think so.
Would that constitute a residential use?
As far as zoning, they are both the same zone. I don't know that it would. I would defer to either Greg or
I guess maybe the question is residential protection area based off of residential zone or residential use?
It's based on residential use. It's regardless of what it's zoned, but it is based on the use, and it comes to the property line of the nearest residence.
Okay, so does that mean that the nearest residential, not zone or building, would be the the assisted living facility?
Yeah, so that was not mentioned in the staff report, but I did take that into account. So it's the same zoning, but the suite that's where this would be located is on the north side of that building. Right. And you would have to go through the half of that building plus the distance to the other building.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I just want to make sure, I want to make sure that we had the right numbers there. Okay, thank you.
While we have this, microphone's off. While we have this pulled up, so there are 8 total tenants in this building?
Right, 2 stories, 4 in each.
And what are the uses of the other? I'm going to the parking, of course. You said there's 20 stalls required for this use and 100 out of 123. But what are the 7 other tenants using and what are their business hours, I guess? We want to avoid conflicts with other hours of operation.
It's hard to say right now. This is a pretty new building, so I'm not sure they're all occupied right now. I know some of them are. There is a legal office in one of the suites, but I don't know about the rest.
And would the park, because these are condominiums, does the 123 total parking stalls fall with the property? And so there would have to be like a parking access agreement that by the property owner?
Yeah, the 123 is for the entire building. As far as how that would be broken up once we get business owners in there, depending on where their use falls, I think we would have to look at it at that time.
And business licensing would be the division that would monitor that unless somebody comes in with another conditional use permit towards us?
Right.
Okay. Anything else, Ms. Holst?
So I'm stuck on the parking too. I'm seeing that one floor has 13,000 square feet, so I would assume that you double that. And if you're using the same metric because it's office space of a parking spot per 100 square feet, this is significantly under parked. Can you just explain a little bit why the number was required that is? And
so the use here is requiring 1 per 100. That's a use specific only to, the code calls it assembly or reception center. It's not office.
Okay, so it is a heavier use per square foot. Okay. Yeah. And so you anticipate that this, like Commissioner Gez just asked, will be tracked as each use comes in?
Right. Like I said, there's another use. It's an attorney's office. They're obviously going to be office. But if there's another event center or reception type of business that wants to locate here, then that parking would be evaluated using that use.
Okay. But in theory, for future applications, they've reduced the number of spaces by 29 out of that 123 that can be allocated.
Possibly, depending on how the uses break down in the building.
What is the requirement for just general office space, which is what I anticipate most of this will be?
I don't recall that off the top of my head. It's either 1 per 200 or 1 per 300, I think.
1 per 300.
Okay.
1 per 3. Okay.
Okay, Mr. Forrest. One other question on the noise ordinance. Obviously, there's 7 other tenants going to be here, and you said that the applicant submitted a letter. They will monitor that. Obviously, any noise ordinance, I believe, would be conducted by either, would it be code enforcement, police, would that be health department? And since this is a conditional use permit, obviously, if it continued violations, it would ultimately come back towards us for a potential CUP revocation?
Right, so as far as noise, it's not specified in the application how they intend to do that. Hopefully the applicant can answer that, but the nearby tenants of the property owners can have code complaints if they need to file with the city, if they have any issues with this property owner here. Noise levels is not something that was specifically in the impact control measures that we had to look at for this, but we did take it a little bit into account considering that I did ask the applicant what their plan was, and so hopefully she can specify that today.
And to clarify, if it's a noise issue between other tenants, that is for the property owner to resolve. It's only when it crosses, I think,
the property boundary. Yeah.
That
might be the case. I'm not super familiar with how that works, since they're all condo suites, so I'm not sure what their rules are.
Because they're condos, though, that's each unit is individually owned, correct?
And it could be owned, but it's really the property line. I think the code reads that in the Salt Lake County code, it's more about as measured at the property line.
Okay. Anything else for staff at this juncture? Okay, well, maybe have some stuff in our discussion. Is the applicant present here this evening?
Yeah.
Would you like to come forward to the microphone to give any additional testimony? If not, if you would like to, the time is yours to come forward. Again, just give us your name for the record. If you're both going to speak, give us both your names, and the time is yours to add anything to Miguel's report or anything else you'd like to add.
Okay, thank you. My name is Isabel Moreno. This is my husband, Dennis. We are originally from Venezuela. We have been in the industry for 20 years. This is a special project for us. We only want to follow the rules of the city. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for the applicant while we have him forward? Mr. Campbell.
So with this being an office and there being an assembly space, it seems like it could be a helpful to have that for office space that may need an assembly space during, you know, special events, like they gather people for their work from home and they just need a place to meet. Is that going to be open to them?
Can anybody rent this space?
Yeah.
I mean, they could rent it.
Yeah.
We're not restricting it to specific hours. We think most events will land on those hours, but I think we can.
Yeah, so the events are, the most events are in the night. It's open for any kind of events, like a birthday parties, any kind of gathering, okay. Private gatherings.
It's small parties.
It's small parties. Yeah, it's like a boutique event center, so it's for small parties.
I get where you're going, though. Are you worried about parking? Should it?
I'm not worried. Actually, I think that makes an interesting synergy.
Sure.
Of being able to make the use of the space, and I've been in a similar office space in Utah County where they had a reception hall or an event center in a big multi-story office complex.
And in your letter that was supplied in our report, you mentioned how you will control who can apply, be approved for the use, and you're fully aware, like you said, the regulations of the capacity, the parking spaces, the noise. You mentioned if you do have alcohol premise, the liquor licenses associated and all that, correct?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Thank you for being here. If there's anything that comes up in staff comments that we need to, or public comment, we will invite you back up.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you for being here. We always appreciate when the applicant is here, so when we do have questions. So at this point of the meeting, we'd like to open it up for any member of the general public who's here in the council chamber. Oh, sorry, Ms. Harding. I didn't want to ignore you. Did you have anything for the applicant or for staff so far? Sorry, I'm so used to always looking in the room.
No, thank you.
Okay, sorry. So try to remind me, I might get tunnel vision here. So any member of the general public who is here in the council chambers that would like to give testimony on this item, the time is yours to come forward to the microphone, give us your name and address, and you have up to 3 minutes. Please.
My name is Lisa Reed, and I live at 10508 Harvest Walk Lane. I live in the Harvest Cross Filling, or Harvest Villa Crossings that are butted up against this property, okay? Where I live is in a thoroughfare that before this office building was built, people would come through thinking that they could go through the fence and head out to River Heights. Okay, my concern is the traffic where people are turning around in my driveway, blocking my access. My concern is how are they going to control that? Because it's gonna start again once this building gets filled up. Especially at night and the weekends when they're having events, is there going to be signage to direct the people? It's a big concern because I have a ring doorbell, and that thing goes off constantly because of the traffic, and then people realize, oh, there's a brick wall there. I can't go through. And we have signage that is posted that says no through traffic. And I understand people don't read, I totally understand that. But this is a real concern. And since I'm the one that's most affected as far as the throughways, it's not just the assisted living. I mean, I'm going to have the noise too. So, you know, I'd kind of like to have a little bit more information on how they're going to control those type of things.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Reed.
Huh?
We won't answer directly, but we'll be taking down some notes and we will get those addressed.
Okay.
At the end of
Thank
the
you.
Thank you,
I appreciate that.
Is there anyone else present in the chambers who would like to give testimony on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public comment and bring it back to the commission for discussion on that. So we did have one public comment, and it was about the traffic and parking, which we talked a little bit. If we could, I don't know if you have the staff report still pulled up, the overview of the property where it shows the roads off of River Heights and the adjoining properties, any of them will, not that one, that's the building layout.
I've got a Google image open, but can you confirm there is not a way to park anywhere off of Willow Valley Road and access on foot? There's a fence, right? I'm seeing a physical barrier. Okay. So there would be no incentive to intentionally park over here and walk onto the property.
Yeah.
There's a...
I'm sorry. Yeah. We'll get that address.
There is a wall on that side, and there's no gate to get to from that property to any of the residential zone nearby.
Okay.
But if I remember right, for either the staff report or the applicant's letter, they mentioned that when they do send out confirmations or working with people who will be renting their facility, that they will work with the hours and traffic flow and how to access. So I guess strongly encourage that, even though there's a wall to prevent.
So, but along those lines, I think as part of a conditional use permit, they are required to submit like a flow plan. And so maybe that is a requirement that in the documentation, when you sign a contract for an event that, I don't know, that you designate approaching from the south, approaching from the north.
Yeah.
That's pretty frequently offered on websites. Simply so that anybody booking an event has looked at it.
Yeah, and just my only hesitation would be the 7 other tenants of this building. So one tenant would be required to conform to that, but the other 7 tenants may not because it's not a conditional use permit.
You could argue, though, that this is a unique use where it's often a one in time only, people who aren't necessarily familiar, a higher density of people coming at a compounded time. I mean, it might, if we decide it is a detriment, be a reasonable request.
Jeremy, good evening. We're going to get you in here. Do you know just anticipated you, I mean, obviously River Heights Drive is a, sorry, like a major roadway, but to cut through to access Willow Valley Road, do you have any traffic concerns or estimates of actual volume other than people who are just not, you know, erroneously following a GPS on their app or just turn down the wrong street? Any traffic inside of potential volume that might potentially access the homes off of Willow Valley Road trying to access this property?
No, I don't have any data because there's no connection. And I don't know who's, I don't have any data on that.
There's a light at that intersection though, River Heights and 104th, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, there is a light there. And I think the only thing they could do as an applicant would be maybe on their brochures or their, just say, you access it from River Heights Drive and just say that, because anybody who's going, if it's, you know, coming from Willow Valley Road, then if they're following some directions like Google or whoever, I'm surprised that anybody would.
There's a median there too, like that prevents you from turning earlier if you're heading west. I am a little surprised just that that's been an issue.
One issue that may have come up is where it is a really new building. Sometimes it takes a little bit for the mapping software to catch up. And so it could be that the Google Maps or Apple Maps was routing them where it's immediately adjacent to that, the Harvest Walk Lane. It could be that it was just mapping them there in air, and that's something that kind of corrects itself over time.
And I believe there's a way to submit that feedback in the map to get that corrected. So, but yes, I could see that now that you say that, where the harvest lane would look like to automatic classification software as if it connects through.
Okay. Anything else? I think I've addressed the general public comments that were raised. Any other discussion? Obviously, I don't, is there a detriment on the, obviously this conditional use permit, which just for the general public, this will stay with the property. So for this tenant, this, I guess, condominium, it would stay indefinite despite ownership. It could be transferred. It would stay with that. So are there any, detriments that we've identified and ways that we can mitigate that? Or are there other concerns that need to be addressed? Obviously, we've talked about the overall parking with the other uses and hours.
Noise was mentioned at the end too.
And is that enough to be a detriment, or can that be addressed by the property manager owner of the all eight condominiums, or do we need to put in specific business hours or just the normal process for reporting a complaint for noise, which I guess would be the same for parking as well.
I was going to say, from my understanding, there are certain hours, it's 10 or 11 o'clock, at which point there are quieter hours, and I'm trying to remember which zone that is. But regardless, I believe there's a well-established for this type of use across there, and there are mechanisms by which to address the sound, everything from sound abatement inside the actual event center itself to reduce noise transmission, but also, I'm sure there's lots of ways to do this.
Yeah, I know in the last couple of years, we've reviewed as a commission the similar use just directly east of this property off 104 Saskatchewan Parkway, the barn. With similar concerns probably with noise and traffic flow and parking as well. And I think if I recall right, it was the same. We didn't identify a detriment and have to put in ways to mitigate that, but I can't 100% recall.
Yeah.
All right. Any other thought? Ms. Harding, sorry. Any concerns or thoughts that you may have?
Just been zooming in, and will the city please confirm with me, is there a fence to the north protecting that childcare sidewalk that goes along? Is that a fence?
I believe so. I'll double check, but I think there is.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, definitely we want to protect that business to the direct north as well, especially with the childcare use. Any other concerns, thoughts? If not,
just a couple comments, yep, really please. Quick. Their address on their application does list the River Heights Drive. I can't guarantee what every map function people use are, but I did just use Apple Maps and Google Maps, and it did take me there appropriately, and it does sound like there is signage. And so I think anything we might put in place, besides the suggestion that in paperwork or on the website it indicate please approach on River Heights Drive, has already been met. I don't know that there's any.
Do you think we need to make that a condition or just a recommendation for the applicant to consider?
I don't know. I don't want to make a recommendation that then causes them problems later because they're not on River Heights Drive for some reason, the road name changes, but I also want to make sure that the resident feels like we recognize the concern and the reality of what happens. I'm just not sure. I'm still mulling that one over.
And I could definitely see where could have happened in the past, may still happen on occasion, but I don't see evidence that it will happen en masse. And so I'm not sure that there's evidence of a detrimental effect on that side.
And that's where I'm leaning. So. Yeah, I would like to strongly encourage the applicant to put that in their notification or their communications with people who might be renting their facility, and maybe to the property owner for all eight tenants of this location as well. But with the walls on the north and east side, and with the property location that you just pulled up on your maps, I don't know how much more we can
mitigate
that. So any other further discussion? If not, I'm open to accepting a motion on this item.
I move that the Planning Commission approves file PLCUP 20250024A, the Belitas Event Center Conditional Use Permit, as presented this evening.
And I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Collis, the second by Commissioner Gedge. Any discussion to the motion? Okay, Ms. Valdez, to require a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Farnsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner
Catwell? Yes. Sorry, yes.
Sorry, did I miss somebody?
That's just the last, Commissioner Harding.
Yeah, and I said Commissioner Harding.
Yes.
Okay, great. That motion passes 5 in favor. So we wish you good luck as this unique use for the city. Mr. Catwell mentioned that he's seen it in Utah County, so we wish you success in the long term here in South Jordan and for considering us. And thank you for being here this evening. We always appreciate when the applicant is here to help us with this process. Our next item is item H2. The Mountain Motor Exchange Conditional Use Permit is conditional use night, so two, for property located at 1097 South Sterling View Drive, number 100. The applicant is John Boot, and Mr. Aguilera will be presenting us this item as well. Take it out.
Thank you. So this is the Mountain Motor Exchange Conditional Use Permit. The use here is vehicle sales. It is in the CF Zone Commercial Freeway, and it's a pretty big property, and they are intending to occupy part-time the northern portion of their parking lot. So the CF Zone does require a CUP for this, and so the applicant is saying that this is a part-time vehicle sales use, mostly weekend only. So the hours are Fridays from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. During those hours, they will occupy the northern half of the parking lot, which is roughly 365 spaces. The breakdown of those spaces is laid out here. So that's 245 for the sellers, 90 spaces for visitor parking, and 30 spaces will be used up by a tent and a registration area. The area in red is where they're not going to allow anybody to park any visitors or any sellers down in the southern portion of that lot. So this is a doesn't operate like a traditional dealership. It's like a marketplace where people will go and do transactions there on site. It's like person to person. And there is a residential protection area impact control measure. The buffer is 200 feet. The nearest residence is just to the west of it. And the area where this will be operating is about 265 feet away from those buildings. So staff, apart from that, does not anticipate any other negative impacts on nearby residents or nearby business owners or the business owners of that building. They will be operating outside of regular business hours. And with that, staff is recommending approval of this application.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Aguilar. I have just one question. You mentioned how the southern portion in red will not be used for this property. Is that going to be used by the current building? Because it's part of all one application, I mean, locate address. What is the use of the portion in red? Is it?
That's just the building parking lot. I don't know what businesses go there or are currently operating there, but that's for their use. But they're not going to let their business operate on those spaces.
And did they mention anything of barriers or other ways to block that off from?
They did not.
Okay, maybe I'll ask that of the applicant when they come forward.
I could add a little bit to that. I think there's one current business in that building, maybe more, but one is. I believe it's like a yoga place. And then also, if you go by during the day, very few parking spaces are being used at any time. It's probably less than 20 spaces are ever being used in that entire parking lot.
That is true. I was there last week during hours of work, and it was pretty empty.
Great. And just another, you know, various, it's a long time ago that this is obviously for selling of autos. Are there any restrictions with the there used to be restrictions on how far away a auto sales dealership could be from the State Street corridor or that any concern or would that fall under that because not fall under that because this is more private sales and not a dealership? I'm just any concerns with this type of use?
It's not an auto dealership. They don't sell the cars. The individuals who come to sell their cars to people who are also there to look at cars. So they're just, maybe they can explain it a little bit better than that when if you ask them up, but they're not the ones that are actually necessarily profiting from the sales of the cars, but they're profiting from a fee for somebody to do this on the weekend.
And then my last one, and I'll turn over to the other commissioners. Oh, Jeremy, I'm not sure it'd be you or Miguel, but it's very close, obviously, to the Frontrunner Union Pacific lines. Obviously, I assume they will pull in off of Sterling View Drive, but any concerns with vehicular traffic on Jordan Gateway? And of course, I will bring it up since it's there on the map right there. There's just a lovely bump as you drive over the tracks there as well, which I think I'm going to lose a muffler every time I drive over it four times a day. And so I just want that on the public record. But any concerns with vehicular traffic, especially when they're open the Friday night, Saturdays, and Sundays, especially with if the tracks are crossing, you know, the crossings are down for Frontrunner or Union Pacific, any concerns with traffic flow being backed up by accessing this property with the use that's proposed?
No, engineering doesn't have any concerns. And regarding that bump, we're working with Union Pacific. We're trying to get that fixed next week is the plan, if weather holds.
Thank you. That will make me a very popular person in my household. So, okay, anything else for staff at this point? Sorry to hog the... I had a few questions on this one since I drive several times daily.
I have a question. What about restrooms? I didn't see any restrooms on site and could see potential negative impacts for surrounding businesses if they're not providing restrooms for the customers.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if the building's going to be open during the operating hours. I don't know that they're obligated to have any of those services for their customers. So.
Sorry, and then, one more question as well that made me think about that is, I believe our fourth item this evening is just on the other side of the train tracks. And this might be for that applicant, but any potential use for that. We had concerns with that, the Black Diamond pickleball courts with parking and access, any, I guess, discussion or parking, guest parking, spectator parking at this location, especially on those days, Monday through Thursday, where it's not being used for this use. Would that impact anything? Or if they were to use that for Friday, Saturday, Sunday with the...
I guess the real question is there any parking agreement that might apply to this property already in place for Fridays, yeah, Saturdays, and Sundays?
I'm not aware of any such agreement. I don't know if Demir knows, but this area of the parking lot is also roped off when it's not in use. I saw when I drove by it, you can't drive in to park in there anyways unless somebody like the property owner opens it. So.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Okay. Anything else from the first staff at this point? Ms. Harding, sorry, before we get Miguel sit down, anything from you?
Nothing.
Okay, thank you. At this point, we'd like to invite the applicant to come forward. I believe they are here. I met them just briefly before the meeting. Again, same rules as the last item. Come forward to the microphone, give us your name for the record, and anything you'd like to add to Miguel's staff report and testimony.
Good evening. My name is Kyle Sokolowski. I'm a co-owner of the business. My address is 2394 East Buckskin Way, Eagle Mountain. And I don't have any extra information, but given the novelty of the business, I'm open to any questions. I can address the restroom facilities. We are going to be placing a porta potty on the lot in the back corner. So it'll be the upper east corner of that. And it will remain on site through the week. So that was something that was discussed with the leasor. And we thought, that'd probably be a good idea.
And it will be maintained appropriately?
By us, yes.
Okay. Can you answer the question that came up as far as...
Any considerations for shared parking agreements with either to the residents to the west or to a potential use that's coming to the east?
In all of our several months long conversations with the property manager and the owners, there's never been anything brought up that that parking lot is used for anything else. The building is mostly empty, and they're happy to have our business. So it is chained off, that upper section where we'll be using.
Is this going to be open to anybody who would like to sell a car? Or is this a
special? Yes. So it's kind of an interest. It's insurance-wise, it's billed as an event. They're weekend events. And what happens is anybody who owns a vehicle, private party vehicle, not dealers, they're able to rent a spot and drop off their vehicle, and then we secure it 24/7 while it's there. And then they come pick it, they drop it off on Fridays, they pick it up on Sundays, and then we have people on site who will welcome buyers to walk the lot, and we'll have access to the vehicles and turn them on, that kind of thing. And then we don't sell anything. We don't even know if it's been sold. The people who are coming to view the vehicle will contact the vehicle owner personally and conduct any deals.
So you'll have that information on site, making it possible for them to reach out if they're interested.
So each vehicle will have what we call like a smart sheet. Similar to like when you go to a dealership, they have a vehicle, same sort of thing. It's going to have the information of the vehicle with a Carfax and contact information. Anyone coming to view the vehicle, showing interest in the vehicle, can open the vehicle, take a picture of the smart sheet with their contact, and then they can reach out individually. Yeah.
Can they test drive it?
Not through us, but they can arrange that through the owner.
What does a service like this cost?
So we charge, there's two methods. We charge $150 per rental slot per weekend. So let's just say you had a vehicle, you're trying to get rid of it, it's on KSL, you can't seem to do it. You would drop your car off on Friday, rent a spot, and then we would secure it. You drop it off on Friday, so all day Saturday, and then half a Sunday, people come to look at it. And then you would come pick it up on Sunday. If it didn't sell, and you wanted to come back, say, the following weekend, it would make a waterfall. So you'd get a percentage off the next weekend, and then the next weekend.
Are there any similar types of businesses in the county, in Utah?
We are aware of only one in the whole of U.S. And California's been doing it for 20 years. We thought, hey, that might be something that this area could really use.
This will be our novel section of the city.
Yeah, and you know, this is South Jordan was really just the best place. We called this our S-tier lot. We've looked at a lot of different lots, and this was just perfect. And we're hoping that this area can support that kind of business. There's a huge bottleneck of privately owned used vehicles that can't seem to get sold.
Anything else for the applicant while we have him here? Mr. Gavel.
I guess my question would be, would it be limited to cars and car-like vehicles? Or would you do like RVs?
So we bill it as vehicles. So we, on the website, we list things like, you know, cars, trucks, boats, side-by-sides. We have had interest in RVs. Problem with RVs is they're going to take up more than one spot, so we have to work that out. You know, boats, watercraft, quads, trailers, if you could fit into a spot, you know, and it's not, we're not doing salvage titles, you know, we're not doing like junk cars. You can't just tow a car and drop it off kind of thing. So if it fits in a spot and it runs, and you know.
Ms. Harding, do you have anything for the applicant while we have him hear the microphone?
My question was answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here this evening. Again, we appreciate when the applicant is here, and we'll save some time for you after public comment if anything arises that we need an answer on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Same rules as our previous item. So this portion of the meeting, we'd like to open to the general public. So any member of the public who would like to give testimony on this item, you have 3 minutes to come forward to the microphone, give us your name and address, and give any testimony. We will take our comments. We will not be directly answering any questions you may raise, and we will write them down for our discussion following public comment.
My name is Russ Naylor, 10459 South Temple Drive, and I'm here as the architect for the fourth item on the list. but it did pique my curiosity. I'm assuming that that's the railroad tracks that's on the east side of that property. So our property and that church facility are immediately to the east. Does that sound correct?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, obviously, a couple of times a year, it's our plan that our client will be making arrangements to do a bunch of offsite parking. I don't see that the number of cars that they're going to, you know, have on this facility will have a big impact on what we're proposing to do. But I'd like to just at least offer my opinion. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Naylor, and we look forward to hearing from you in a few minutes. Anybody else here present in the council chambers who would like to give testimony on this item? Seeing none, we will close public comment and bring it back to the commission for discussion leading to a possible motion.
I like it. It sounds interesting. I think I saw probably a private car sale going down in the Maverick parking lot recently, and I thought I'd want to meet in public too if I were trying to sell a car privately. This is a really interesting idea.
I like the location where it's right off the freeway, off of Jordan Gateway, just right there. And obviously it's close to public transit as well, Front Runner and Track. People could access it if they're coming to look at an item as well. So that, and it's a vacant lot. We have a bunch of asphalt there already that's not being used on that. So, and it helps the skinny new South Jordan as well. It might bring people into the city on that. So.
Actually, I do have a question for staff. How does this work as far as a business license? Does the city benefit from cars that are sold on this lot, or does the overall business?
Sales tax.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes we get a finance impact report in our staff report.
All I know is they have applied for a business license, and I'm not sure if it's approved yet, but I don't know the... what's going to happen with, you know, how we get, other than the business license fee, I don't know.
Okay.
So I guess with this being a conditional use permit, what is the type of use that we're conditioning? And then, because it stays with the property, so what other types of, associated uses may be allowed under this conditional use that we're considering this evening?
Am I correct in understanding that the hours are very limited?
Because the applicant said it's an event. So basically, right. By approving this, is this falling under an event conditional use? Mm-hmm. And so basically, are we approving any type of future event on this location? Or is it more narrow that we're, you know, approving or considering this evening?
The use described in the code is vehicle sales and rental. They've indicated they're only doing vehicle sales. Not sure if we're doing anything with rental, but it's just vehicle sales.
And the conditional use permit specifically calls out the hours and days that they've presented to us.
The staff report definitely lists that specifically because that's what I asked of them. But the conditional use permit, I don't think it limits them to those hours, does it, Greg?
So just maybe a legal question, get our attorney here involved in seeing. So if we were to make a motion to reference the hours that are referenced in the staff report, would that be sufficient to tie them to the conditional use permit, or do we need to make that a condition, an actual condition to the permit?
The safest way would be to make them an actual condition.
I'm okay with that if the applicant is.
I
don't think the applicant wants to run a junkyard, but that's my only concern, is if it were 24/7 that we would get a bunch of vehicles that never move.
We'd like to invite the applicant. Would you be opposed, or would you agree to us restricting that to the hours you've proposed and to sales only and not rentals?
We have zero interest in expanding or changing the hours. The nature of the business almost lends itself to only being weekends. Our lease with that building, the hours are locked down already anyways for the next year, so... Yeah, you're right. We don't want a junkyard. it's a very nice property,
yes.
and butts up against a very nice neighborhood, and we want to keep it that way. And we won't be having loud music and bright lights and signs. And it's kind of very private. The only people that will even know it's there are the people who go to our site and rent a spot and maybe are invited to walk the lot to buy. So yes.
Before we would put any additional condition, we just want to make sure you would be.
Yeah, the hours that we've stated is plenty.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Anything else, discussion on this item? If not, I'm open to Mr. Cowell.
Just one comment. I think it is also a novel use, and one thing that especially that I was thinking of is when we were looking for another car and we were doing a private party, you had to go all over the place. And then if you have a mechanic or a family member, you're like, I gotta get them there too, and all that sort of thing. So that could be very beneficial. The question I have on the potential condition, what detrimental effect would it be tied to?
Just hours of future use, because we conditionally use permit with the property. And so that would be outside of what's the proposal that's presented to us this evening. That would it be a 24-hour use, so restricted?
Oh, we can't make the whole, we can't make it subject to the...
I'm recognizing that I think it's a detriment to have a permanent storage facilities of motor vehicles.
So, 24/7 storage of the items.
So I think conditional use is tied to ensuring that this is short-term
display
of cars for sale, which is what they've described to us, and so we're just asking that they accept a condition that enforces that.
Right, and I know the owner, since this is, they're not the owner, the owner also wouldn't want that because they could, I know there's I remember some sort of legal thing, if vehicle or property stays
unmoved a certain amount of time,
it can make a claim on the property. So I know there's interest there.
If I may, just to clarify, the vehicles will remain on the lot Friday and Saturday night.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I was going to say, I think it might make sense just to leave it open Friday to Sunday and not tie it too tightly to the hours. That gives the break supports the business, but also mitigates a risk.
I would agree with Commissioner Hall. It's just long-term storage of vehicles, which, of course, there's other parts of the city code but where we're approving it as mentioned, the conditional use permit for auto sales, that's where we just want to make sure it's limited to that time frame.
And
I have a question.
Yeah, Ms. Harding?
Does the overall parking lot have any limitations to 24/7 parking?
With the yoga that we approved, I can't recall the current use of the building. Miguel or Greg, would you know the current use, the building that has the 20 or less cars per day, does it have any current restrictions on parking time or hours of operation when we consider that?
That building, the only use, like I said, it was the yoga class. That's the only thing that's in there, and I don't think there's any hour restriction on them. They're not open. I don't know how late they're open. Their business license was permitted, and allowed, but there was not. I don't recall any how what their hours are. So
then I can see Ms. Fisher Catmull is saying, sorry. Thank you, Greg. Is there a detriment that we need to put a condition on? Have we established there is a detriment, I guess? It right, Mr. Hatmull, is that what you're leading to? Sorry, I don't want to speak for you, but.
Oh, on the, let's see.
Do we need to put a condition? Is there truly a detriment that we've identified that?
If a car doesn't move for X amount of hours, I can call the city and have it towed.
But if we've produced a conditional use permit for auto sales.
Correct, that are allowed to store a car from Friday to Sunday, but then if it goes into Monday, Tuesday, I can call and have it towed.
If we have that as a condition.
I could be open to that. As long as the applicant's open to that, that's fine. I mean, if we need to change that, we can always apply, make another conditional use application, and we hope they're wildly successful.
That's true.
Commissioners, can I ask a question just real quick on that 48 hours, the parking, the towing a car.
Is that just
it's
public
been
roads?
Parked for four? Yeah, it's it applies to public roads. I've just never considered it for private property.
Sure.
And so it's definitely something to think about.
So, sorry, I just want to follow up on that because there was a pink bus that we reviewed in the last 2 years. Similarly, I know I was using a commercial business in and out of a residence, but also storage of on private property of like an RV vehicle. Does that not apply then? Only, or is it only typically enforced on public roads?
I don't know. I just know public roads.
You can only store so many functioning vehicles on a residential property. There's a limit to the number. But you're right, commercial, I don't know.
And the size, it was deemed a commercial vehicle.
Right.
Yeah.
On in a residential area. Slot. The other thing I was just thinking about from a detrimental effect, and I need to do the research. I wish I had a few more minutes to do research, but like what someone brought up, like sales tax and so forth. Where does sales tax, is that where it's sold or in private party sales or where the seller or the buyer?
And would business licensing then be, they would be subject to city requirements if there was any city
and my tax only, be recouped? My only thing in bringing that up was that might be a financial detriment impact in the sense that it, where things should be sold or whatever. And what I would propose just that there be a notification to renters or people who take the space and just make sure it's clear whatever the ordinance or the laws are that govern where.
Well, we generally have that statement. I don't see any in with our new format, but we used to have that all city, state regulations are satisfied or something along those lines. We used to have that as a part of our standard motion.
I can see that. In this case, though, what I'm saying is that because it's a private party facilitator and they're not paying the taxes and it's these people who are temporary, right? Sure. They might be here for two days. And just so that they're clear in their agreements, maybe just in their agreements or in some way to notify people that that's all, just a notification requirement. To say this is how you have to pay, you know, if you have to pay sales tax or, but that might be pushing too much. But
yeah, I'm just wondering, like a current online site, KSL.com, do they make that notification in a private transaction?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not looking to restrict them. I'm just looking to try to make sure that, anyway, we'll see. Carry on.
So unless a company is selling that and providing those documentations, it'd be a private sell. Mm-hmm. The buyer would then take those and prepare those documents to take it into DMV. It wouldn't have anything to do with the address of where they saw the car.
So, but this applicant would be earning money by renting the spots, and that's what would.
And not by the sale transaction.
Right. I'm still fine with it. I'm not terribly concerned.
I'm just trying to identify those because it is a little bit of an edge case. And so, I'm fine.
So the other piece to my question would be, if the owner of that property is allowing them to utilize it during the week and not just on weekends, isn't that their lease agreement that would allow cars to be leased longer than just Friday, Saturday, Sunday? And then wouldn't it just be between the person who dropped off the car and this conditional use? On whether or not it could stay there in that portion of the parking lot? Or are we saying that the conditional use permit limits them to even have a tent to even be on the property except for on those hours?
So yes, I think what we're saying is they're requesting weekend operation as they've described tonight and that's what we're granting them and that we're just being particular in ensuring that what we're granting is what they're allowed.
I think that's going to be a lot to police if we limit the hours as opposed to just allow the limited and allow the lease and the leaseor to work it out. That's my concern.
I could see that argument for the least intrusive way to mitigate the concern because the property owner has both the vested interest and the power to put that into effect.
Okay. So I think what I'm hearing from the commission is probably favorable to make a motion to approve the conditional use permit. The one, I guess, question would be, do we put the condition to limit hours or not? And so I guess, some might feel strongly one way or the other, and I can see both sides. So I guess at this point we can make a motion with one way or the other and see how that falls and move forward. Sorry, I just want to keep us moving along here.
I'll try a motion.
Okay, Ms. Harding.
I move that the Planning Commission approves file PLCUP 2025-00251, the Mountain Motor Exchange Conditional Use Permit as applied.
We have a motion by Commissioner Harding, a second by Commissioner Farnsworth. Any discussion to the motion?
Yes. So as applied means that per their application, and I would argue should somebody dig deep enough and find these minutes, that means that there are restricted operating hours.
Correct.
Okay. Any further discussion to that? So we have the motion second. So if not, I'm going to call the question. And Ms. Valdez, a roll call vote, please. Commissioner Harding made the motion, seconded by Commissioner Farnsworth.
Harding was first, and did you say Hollis or Farnsworth?
Farnsworth.
Okay. So, Commissioner Harding.
Yes.
Commissioner Farnsworth.
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge.
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis.
Yes.
And Commissioner Kavanaugh.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Yeah. That motion passes 5 in favor. So thank you for being in this evening. Thank you for bearing with our discussion here, but we just want to make sure that we're considering the long-term implication. This is a novel concept, as you know, but we wish you extreme success here, and we are, I think, excited for this use in our city, and thank you for considering South Jordan, and it'll be great as I drive by this lot several times a day that actually on the weekends see a use. So this is exciting. So that concludes that item. It takes us to our next item, item number H3.
Chair, can I have 3 minutes?
For a
break.
Yeah, so we are going to take a quick break, recess for 5 minutes. Oh, do we need to take a vote?
3 minutes.
I move. So move.
So move. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay. We are recessed for 5 minutes. Again, thank you for the general public. We will get the last two items here shortly. On that. Exactly.
This is the one that Miss Reach is here. Because this one does connect to road to river heights. Our next one.
Oh, our next one, yeah. This one I had, because I think someone in the report said something about going through the America First off of River Heights.
Slide over.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be all the way down there.
Just take Sam's gift card.
I know, right?
There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Take Meg.
Before I say that.
Take Sam's stuff.
Maybe they'll all show up at a ball game.
Well, it's usually more than 45 minutes.
Well, last year was an hour and a half.
Yeah.
They had all this. And the three representatives, she had Rachel and Jenny. Science major, something.
A state legislator.
Oh, that's Susan Paulser. Yeah. You think someone going around your school? Yeah. Looking all in.
Like my sister-in-law is running against Stuart now.
She's one of the four.
She's the former counsel for Weaver State.
They asked me to run against George Tushar at the Democratic Party. And I politely declined.
They got somebody else, too.
I was going to be a peace sacrificial lab. I know my demographic. I'm going to waste my time and money. A couple years ago, they asked me to run against the counsel. I have to see him suddenly, so I'll pass on that.
You have a high school student, right?
Yes.
Brett Bingham.
Junior. Harriman.
I think you knew that.
Could be. My last one might go to Bingham. I see.
Because boundaries are changing or just choice?
Yeah, it's hard to know. Yeah, probably. Just.
I was actually shocked.
What middle school do you kids go to?
They went to Mountain Creek Middle. Moose.
All right, in 5 minutes?
Probably. I'm
Hey, I gotta use the gavel. I love you know me and the gavel. Call back to order this meeting. Thank you all for allowing us to take a quick recess, real quick, so we appreciate that. So it takes us to item H3, the South Jordan Retail Building Site Plan for property located at 10418 South Willow Valley Road. The applicant is Van Zeben, sorry if I mispronounced that, Architecture. And Miguel, 3 for 3. Time is yours.
Thank you. So the applicant is requesting that the Planning Commission approve the South Jordan Retail Building. That is what they're calling it. It is a site plan application. It is one building, and it's right there. One building in a CC zone. And the intended use is a spa. They did say they have a location in Midvale, however, I don't recall exactly what the name of the spa is. So it will be one commercial building, approximately 8,200 square feet. The front facade will face south, so the back will be along facing South Jordan Parkway. There will be 42 parking spaces on site. The building was designed according to the applicant with flexibility in mind, because even though it is intended to be a spa, but you know, for flexible in case the use changes in the future, they want to make sure that they have that in place so that they can change the use to whatever it may be in case it changes. The parking requirement is one space per 200 square feet. So they required 41, but they will have 42, so they're good there. And access will be from Willow Valley Road, but there is also going to be access from the west side, which that's the, yeah. There's an existing driveway into the America First Credit Union. So if people need to access it from River Heights Drive.
So just real quick, sorry, question. Is there an access agreement or because it is crossing property lines?
I believe so. And yeah, with that, this is not part of any development agreement, but staff is recommending approval of the application.
Great. Thank you, Miguel. Sorry to interrupt you as well, but that was my big question, is because the America First property is a different property, and that's one of the two access points off of River Heights Drive. Is there permission, basically, legal authority to access, use their property to access this property on that? So that might be a question for the applicant. Any other, the other commissioners go first. Any questions for Mr. Catmull?
I don't know why I know this, but the ADA requirements, I was looking at that, and it looks like if you have, oh, we're good. Okay, so if there's 42, then you have two spots. Okay, not 52. All right, we're good. I thought we might have to have three.
That was one of my questions as well, so thank you for bringing that up. Ms. Holler, Mr. Farber, Ms. Harding, any questions for staff on this one?
No.
Okay, thank you. That was... Hopefully, we'll save some time and maybe have some questions here. So, is the applicant present here this evening? Thank you, sir, for being here. If you can come to the microphone, you probably heard my spiel a few times this evening. So, if you're not, I'll repeat it for you.
Good. Thank you, commissioners. My name is Garrett Goff. I'm with Garn Development. My address is 748 West Heritage Park Boulevard in Layton, Utah. I'm with the owner. Van Zeeben Architecture is the architect that is designing it. As Miguel mentioned, we do have a location in Midvale. We also have one in Bountiful and in Layton as well. So this is going to be our fourth location. We're going to consider our flagship location. There's going to be about 9 or 10, I believe, treatment rooms, meditation rooms, different things like that. The business has been in business for over 25 years, and we're really excited to be here. To answer your question on the easement, there is an easement in place. So that is why we couldn't do anything with that part of the property. But if you guys have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer.
Just basic standard business operating hours.
Yep. Yeah. So I think right now they're 10 to 9 on the weekends and earlier on the weekdays, I believe. So yeah, it's pretty standard. And it's a quiet use. This is the spot because we like to keep things quiet. So.
Any questions for applicant while we have them forward? Thank you for being here this evening.
Appreciate
and
it.
We'll save some time for you after public comment if there are any. At this portion, we'd like to open this item to the public comment. So any... Commissioner Harding. Sorry. Thank you. Commissioner Harding, did you have anything for the applicant while we have him here?
Yeah, I did. What did you decide on for signage?
So the signage right now is going to be... There will be a monument sign off of Willow Valley Road. I believe it's just adjacent to the east of the building. And then we are planning to have signage on the back of the building as it faces the South Jordan Parkway. That'll be our main sign as well, but there will be a monument sign. Like that, I don't have a pointer.
You mean
but
just north of the building facing South Jordan Parkway, right? Because south would be
so the lot. Where we're thinking of having the monument sign is just to the east of the building. So where you're pulling into the parking lot. So it lets patrons know to turn here, right?
And there will there be any lighted sign on the south side of the building?
Yes, there will be a lighted sign here on the building.
And anything on the north side facing South Jordan Parkway?
Yes, this is where I would have to, like to have the most signage. I would probably put one here and or here. But that isn't set in stone.
Anything else, Commissioner Harding? Thank you for bringing that up about signage. Anything else? Okay.
Thank you, Commissioners. Appreciate it.
At this point, we'd like to open this portion to the general public. Any member of the general public here is free to give 3 minutes testimony on this item to come forward. Give us your name and address for the public record. And again, we'll be writing things down. We won't be directly answering any questions, but the time is now yours.
Very quickly, Russ Naylor again, 10459 South at Temple Drive. I happen to also be on the art committee, and we saw this a month, 6 weeks ago. We thought it was very tastefully designed, liked the contrast of the materials and so forth. And I agreed with Garrett that the way the building's laid out, it could easily be divided up into, 2,500 square foot individual retail shops. So we, we're very happy to have this project move forward.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Naylor, and thank you for your service on our art committee and Ms. Harding as well on the art committee. Anybody else here in the council chambers would like to give testimony on this item? Seeing none, I will close public comment and bring it back to the commission for comments, questions. My one was obviously the parking access, and the applicant stated there is an easement I don't know, traffic volume off of River Heights Drive might be a concern in America First, getting a lot of people cutting through their parking lot on that, but that's just my one concern I have. Ms. Hollist.
I'm just glad that there's a monument sign at the entrance just to prevent, hopefully, people from driving further down the road.
Which on one of our previous items this evening was the same road.
Right.
So hopefully that will block them from accessing that further down. Anything else from the commission members?
I have a question for staff. I feel like within the last couple of years, we saw an application for a spa with all of the drawings just west of here, like within the same complex. Did that one never come to be?
Wasn't the one across the street?
Maybe
you
so.
Actually saw an application for the same site, for the same business, and it had a different look to it and architecture. And for whatever reason, the applicant decided not to go through with it the first time, and then it was before it got an extension, a time extension, because it was approved, and then it came back later, and they got a time extension, but then that time extension it expired, and so now they're back, so they had to have a new application.
Okay, this is the same one.
Same architects too.
Okay, I remember those.
We also did approve a fitness center across River Heights, just directly across as well, which is now open. EOS Fitness, something like that.
Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you.
It was for a spa. It was a smaller building, I believe, and this one's a little bit larger.
Okay.
I believe the applicant has something to add. Would you guys be opposed if we invite the applicant to come back forward? Miss, please, Garrett.
I can address that. Yep, we did have another building here designed. It was a two-story building, smaller footprint, had an elevator. The COVID cost hit us, so we had it bid, and it was just too much money. And it didn't have the flexibility of generational 20 years down the road. If the spa doesn't work, something happens. So we pivoted. That's why it's back in front of you. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments on this item? If not,
Chair?
Ms. Harding.
The image didn't change for me. I'm not too clear where the signage will be on the south side of the building. I understand the north side, but and as you pull in off of Willow Valley Road, but a lighted sign on the south side that would face housing.
I'm going to invite the applicant just back forward again, just confirm, because I think just to confirm, and we're going to pull up the map here. I know we can see in the chambers. You may not. He's drawing it here in the chambers.
So where I circled is the entrance to the building.
And just in case you can't see the circle, it's on the southwest corner facing the...
Right in front of the handicap stall. So that is where the entrance will be for patrons, and it will be on the building.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ms. Harding, anything else before I get the applicant back and forth or on that?
No, okay. I just need clarification there.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any discussion? If not, open to a motion.
I move that the Planning Commission approve file PLSPR 2025-00208, the South Jordan Retail Building site plan as presented this evening.
I second that.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Hollis and a second by Commissioner Harding. Any discussion to the motion? Seeing none, this will require a roll call vote. Ms. Valdez, please.
Commissioner Hollis.
Yes.
Commissioner Harding.
Yes.
Mr. Farnsworth.
Yes.
Commissioner Gibbs.
Aye.
And Commissioner
Campbell. Yes.
That motion passes 5 in favor. We wish you luck with this. And thank you for considering South Jordan for your flagship location over those other cities you mentioned. A little dig at our neighboring municipalities. Which brings us to our final item on our administrative public hearings this evening, item H4, the MFH subdivision amended and extended for property located at 306 West, 11000 South. Ryan Naylor and Nicholas Naylor Architects are the applicant. Demir, Mr. Drozdek will be presenting us the site this evening. The time is yours.
Thank you. So this project was presented before you twice back in 2025, once for a zone change and the other time for a site plan approval. It got approved both times, and what you have here before you today is a preliminary subdivision plat application. As a refresher, this is the property that we're going to be discussing here. The zoning was the zone change was approved to a PD overlay zone, and then this is the original subdivision plat that they're proposing to amend and extend with this new subdivision plat. This next slide shows the next subdivision, the new subdivision plat. As you can see, they're going to be creating 5 lots in this subdivision, and there's going to be dedication along 11,000 South, and they're also going to be creating some easements with this with the subdivision plat. It meets the city requirements, the terms of the agreement, and with that, I'll turn it over to you, commissioners.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Yep. Any questions for staff at this point?
Does it request any changes to the underlying development agreement as far as use or number of units, number of parking spots, etc.? It's just asking to subdivide what has already been approved.
Right. Okay. Right.
Mr. Campbell, Mr. Farnsworth, Ms. Harding, anything for staff?
None at this time.
Okay. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you.
I believe applicant is present, so Mr. Naylor, I know you're here. Would you like to come forward and give any additional testimony on this item? Getting your steps in tonight.
I mean, yeah, Russ Naylor, 1045 North, 9 South, Temple Drive. I mean, this is just the housekeeping stuff that, you know, making things match the way the city council and you folks approved it. And gosh, it's taken forever. And unfortunately, we got the plat, you know, through the city, county approved it for format, and we print the Mylar to get all the signatures. We've got most of the signatures, and we send it to Jordan Improvement District. They want to add a few more notes, so now we have to add the notes and then start all over on running it around the valley to get signatures, but we appreciate your favorable approval of what we're trying to do tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Naylor, for being here this evening again.
Mr. Naylor, sorry.
Mr. Naylor, we actually have a question from you from Commissioner Hollis.
Yeah, well, you're here. I recall a couple of the lots were going to be some sort of commercial. Do you have...
We have two little pads.
Have you found...
Yeah, one of those actually will be in for... I think we have to come in for ARC, and it's a little two-story building, and I think it's about 3,000 square feet. And it's actually the developer's daughter who is a beautician. And so it'll be a little hair nail salon. Mm-hmm. And it's a cute little building. And we'll have that probably in the next month or so in for, do we have to come back here for approval for the little building? And then we have a building that there's a little controversy about right now. It goes up right next to the accountant's office. Mm-hmm. And it went to city council and so forth, and we have a little drive-through proposed. And they're absolutely outraged that they have a deck up on the second level, and they like to sit out there and have lunch and so forth, and don't envision being excited about the idea of cars backed up with exhaust smells and so forth. Demir brought to my attention that they're pissed. That's the way it was approved. It is permitted.
So it is in your development agreement?
Yeah, it is in the development agreement, but I assured them that we would do everything we could to try to make this work. They proposed that I flip the drive-through around and put it on the south side, and that doesn't work. That's where our entry needs to be, to the parking and to the building. So anyway, we're going to make every effort we can to try to figure out something, even if we maybe have to put the drive-through in like a tunnel situation so that it's more, you know, friendly for them. But anyway, those are the two buildings that we have on the property other than our pickleball facility. Okay.
Anything else for Mr. Naylor or Ms. Harding before I send Mr. Naylor back? Anything for the applicant?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Last time tonight, they're going to open this portion of the meeting to the general public. So any member of the public who is present who would like to give testimony on this item, you have 3 minutes to approach the microphone, the commission, and time is yours. Public comment is open, sir.
Good Jeff Burnson. I'll give the address to our property, 10901 South Jordan Gateway. We're right across the street. We like to store everybody's stuff. We're storage stuff people. But I just want to say that we're very excited about this project. I happen to be extremely familiar with this area, as I've sold most of the property here at least 3 to 4 to 5 times over the last 25 years. So very familiar with it, but just very excited for the whole program, for the whole plan. And the developer happens to be a good friend and client of mine as well. So anyway, that's just my 2 cents worth. I wanted to give it up since pennies are now no longer being minted.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else present who would like to give testimony on this item? Include staff. You guys are members of the public. Seeing none, I will close the public comment portion of this meeting, bring it back to the commission for staff on that. Looks like this is more of a technical cleanup issue. I want to thank the applicant for at least expressing interest to work with the neighbor, even though it's in the development agreement, what he's allowed to do on that. And of course, that's not part of what we're considering this evening. But as I mentioned on a previous item, I drive past this item several times a day, and it'll be nice to hopefully see dirt moved shortly. I always, every time I drive, it's like, oh, and I know the answer, but it's going to be nice, I think. And that's all I have to add. Anything else from any other commissioners? Ms. Harding, before I skip you.
No, nothing here.
I just wanted to thank Mr. Burns for coming out. We don't often have people willing to come out and speak in favor. I know it takes time and energy. Thank you for your feedback.
Mr. Cowell?
I'm ready to make a motion.
Yeah, please.
If the commission's ready. I move that the Planning Commission approve file PLPLA 2025-00144.
And I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Catmull, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any discussion to the motion? Seeing none, last roll call vote this evening, Ms. Valdez, please.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Barnes?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hardy?
Yes.
That motion passes 5 in favor. So, Mr. Naylor, thank you for being here this evening, for your service on the Art Committee. And we look forward to seeing the next items that you discuss this evening in the next few weeks. So that concludes our administrative and public hearings this evening. We have no legislative public hearings. So it takes us to item J, our other business. And I know Mr. Schindler knows what I'm going to ask, which I have, I think, for the last 6 years at this point of the meeting. How does it look the January 27th on our agenda?
Well, I looked it up at, before the meeting started, but I forgot, so I'm going to look again. There are, right now, there are 6 items on the agenda for the next time. Three administrative and 3 legislative.
All right, so I don't want to recommend training at our next meeting because with 6 items on that. So great. Anything else from any of the commissioners? Or any of staff, thank you, staff. Thank you, I know DeMar and Miguel have left, but thank you for being here this evening. And so.
I move that we adjourn.
We're adjourned. Thank you, Ms. Harding, for joining us online. Hope to see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you. Thank you all.